Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there is a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of God. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Holy God, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. You call us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother bird knows her baby bird is about to hatch, so she does what so many parents do by instinct. She does what she can to provide for her baby. Perhaps thinking she has a bit more time than she does before the egg cracks open, mother bird leaves the nest on a hunt for food. While mother bird is off providing, baby bird hatches and immediately begins searching for mother bird. Baby bird leaves the nest and tries oh so hard to find his mother. "Are you my mother?" baby bird asks a kitten, a hen, a dog, and a cow. They all either say nothing or make it clear that no, they are not his mother. Baby bird is frustrated and probably a little scared, so he turns to the next thing he sees, which happens to be a large steam shovel or excavator, as one of the kids during children's message made it clear to me. And he proclaims it to be his mother. Obviously, the excavator is not the baby bird's mother, and baby bird gets even more scared. But the excavator picks up the baby bird and puts him right back in the nest where he started. Not so very long after that, mother bird flies back to the nest, worm in beak, and snuggles up to her baby. Baby bird had wandered off, but in the end was found and returned home safe and sound. Last week, Pastor Mark kicked off this newest sermon series entitled The Gospel According to Dr. Seuss, Life is Messy. Each of the 8 weeks of this series, we will be using a Dr. Seuss or a Seuss-themed story to help illustrate a biblical truth. The biblical truths we'll be exploring during this season will remind us that life is indeed messy. But more than that, in the midst of this series, we will be reminded that the God we know in Jesus Christ enters into the mess with us, bringing redemption and hope. The first Dr. Seuss story of the series was the story that's providing the framework for the series, The Cat in the Hat. The cat came to the house uninvited, made a real mess of things, and the children were left wondering how to fix the mess. Life is indeed messy. Sometimes the mess is of our own making, while other times the mess comes from outside forces, from other people in our lives, from community or global circumstances, from political unrest, from natural disaster, etc., etc. Last week, Pastor Mark preached about sin and the way sin causes us to make a mess of our lives sometimes. Yet God's answer to our sin is forgiveness. And when we sincerely pray that God make our hearts clean, to put a new and loyal spirit within us, the sin-made messes in our lives begin to be redeemed. This weekend, we are considering mess of a slightly different kind, the kind of mess that can be made when we go it alone, apart from God. For the baby bird in Are You My Mother, the problem started here on this particular page of the story. Baby bird hatches, takes stock of his situation, realizes mother bird is nowhere to be seen, and then baby bird promptly decides to do his own hunt for mother bird, despite the fact that he is in no way equipped to go on a self-led hunt for his mother. He cannot yet fly. He does not know the territory around his nest. And perhaps most importantly, he doesn't even know what his mother looks like. Going it alone, thinking he can find his mother all by himself, seems not to be the best plan for baby bird, but he does it anyway. Well, I don't know about you all, but going it alone and doing something my way by myself has sometimes been a theme in my life. And it's a theme that hasn't always played out very well for me. I decide for myself that I should wander down a particular path, and even when things start to seem a little off, I get stubborn and I keep right on wandering. Doing things my way by myself has often been true in my life. And I suspect the same was true for Nicodemus, who we meet in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. As we heard Doris read a bit ago, John chapter 3 begins with these words. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely one cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Now, I like to imagine that Nicodemus was making a little joke there. "Surely one cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again." I mean, how could that not be a rhetorical, joking comment on Nicodemus's part? Not only is the image of an adult re-entering their mother's womb rather awkward, but frankly, it's also rather hilarious. Surely Nicodemus was kidding around and thought that Jesus would appreciate the joke. They were both religious leaders, colleagues of sorts, and colleagues make weird jokes with each other about their chosen fields, right? I think Nicodemus was making a joke. But Jesus was 100% serious. Jesus had said that in order to see God's kingdom, in order to experience salvation, you must be born again. This was a wholly unfamiliar concept to Nicodemus the Pharisee, because for him, salvation was experienced by doing God's law. For the Jewish people, Jesus' own people, the religious law was how they experienced salvation. They had the big Ten Commandments, but they also had a whole host of other religious laws, each of which was meant to help them do God's will. And salvation was about doing God's will, following the law. Honestly, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. Laws and rules are important, aren't they? Imagine a world without speed limits, signs, and stoplights to help regulate traffic. Granted, there are plenty among us who hold the rules of the road rather loosely, but you can imagine it would be much scarier to drive or walk around out there if there were no rules and if there were no law enforcement officers charged with helping us to keep the rules. Kind of like the baby bird in Are You My Mother, we humans have a tendency to want to do our own thing, whatever seems best for us at the time. And sometimes we do our thing with little consideration for how our actions will affect others. Rules and laws help give us boundaries. Like law enforcement officers who are charged with helping us stay accountable to civil law, Pharisees were Jewish religious leaders who were charged with helping the Jewish people stay accountable to their religious laws. The work of the Pharisees was noble, faithful, important work. But as with any line of work, the Pharisees sometimes went too far. And sometimes their focus on keeping people accountable to the religious law caused them to lose sight of the law's main purpose, helping people love God and love neighbor. Sometimes the letter of the law became far more important than the spirit of the religious law. The spirit of the religious law was to keep people loving God and neighbor. But when the Pharisees enforced the letter of the law, it often seemed to people like a never-ending to-do list that weighed them down. Rather than bringing joy and peace into their life, the law sometimes brought heaviness and feelings of inadequacy, like they were never quite good enough. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night wanting to talk about salvation, Jesus told him it wasn't about the letter of the law, it was about the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law somehow lay in being born again. I sometimes wonder if God should have made it more possible for us to remember ourselves as infants. It's kind of a strange thought, I know, but I think remembering that time would be really helpful for us later in life. See, at some point in growing up, so many of us get the idea that whatever we need, we can simply take care of ourselves. Never mind that time when we were babies and couldn't do anything for ourselves. And never mind the fact that we had absolutely nothing to do with coming into this world in the first place. Who knows why, but we are really good at forgetting that there was a time when we were completely helpless and were fully dependent upon receiving whatever we needed from someone else. And it's this very idea that challenged Nicodemus the Pharisee to his core, because Jesus told him that salvation was not about keeping the religious law. Salvation was not about strictly following all of the religious rules. And salvation was not about that to-do list that he could control and manage all by himself. No. Salvation wasn't about all that. Jesus told Nicodemus that the one thing he had to do to experience salvation was one thing he could never do himself: be born again. In so many ways in our culture, we believe that what we do is what saves us. And I don't necessarily mean saves us in a strictly religious sense, like going to heaven. I mean that in general, we place a very high value in our culture on doing things and on taking responsibility for ourselves and for our lives. This is mostly a very good thing. We do something at school that isn't right and or in the public sphere, and we get punished for what we did. A relationship falls apart, and we wonder about what we could have done to have saved things. A diagnosis comes too late, and we worry that we failed to do something soon enough. We value hard work in this culture, hard work on the job and hard work to keep ourselves and our relationships strong. So even though we aren't law-keeping Jews, we should all be able to sympathize with Nicodemus. He placed a high value on working hard in order to experience salvation, and we can sympathize with what it means to place a high value on hard work. But then Jesus went and told him that the only thing he could do to experience God's salvation had nothing to do with hard work. At least not any hard work he would be doing. Because when you get born, you sure aren't the one doing the hard work, right? That work was done by the woman who carried you in her womb. That work was done by the team of people who surrounded that woman with care and support. And for a significant amount of time after we are born, the work of keeping us alive and helping us to thrive, that work is done by the mothers, the fathers, aunties, uncles, grandparents, and friends who labor day in and day out on our behalf, long before we can do much of anything on our own. Salvation begins when we are born again. Salvation begins when we realize we cannot do life on our own. In many addiction recovery programs, the first step in conquering the addiction is acknowledging a powerlessness in the face of that addiction, a sense that a person is powerless to manage or control their addiction on their own. In order to manage or control the addiction, in order to calm its destructive wake, help is needed. Help from God, help from other people. This concept rings true in so many facets of our messy, messy lives. We simply cannot do life and experience salvation on our own. When we try to go it alone, or when we try to manage and control everything, the mess just gets bigger, and eventually we feel as though we have wandered too far. So like the baby bird in Are You My Mother, for us, salvation begins when someone other than ourselves leads us back to the nest from which we came, the very heart and home of God. For in that nest, we can settle into the assurance of God's love for us. And in that nest, we are reminded that we were never on our own in the first place. Frankly, baby bird was destined to fail on his mission to find mother bird. Within himself, he did not have the resources needed to find her. He should have stayed put in the nest, trusting she would return to him, but he thought he could find what he needed on his own. Only after wandering about, encountering all the wrong animals, and only after becoming rather lonely and frightened, did baby bird get the help he truly needed, and from a surprising source. Nicodemus found help and salvation from Jesus. Jesus, who had a message that was surprising to a rule-following, rule-enforcing Pharisee. Salvation is about being born again, Jesus said. It's about doing the one thing no one can do for themselves. Salvation begins in resting in the assurance that God is always laboring to give us life. Salvation is about the assurance that God is always working to provide for our true needs. Salvation begins in the assurance that God finds us when we wander. And thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. O Holy One, you created us. You made us fearfully and wonderfully. For that, we are so thankful. Yet you know there are times we forget you have been with us since before we were born, times we forget that you have cared for us, provided for us, strengthened us, challenged us, times you have found us when we wandered away from you. Draw us ever closer to you, that we might be assured of your constant love and provision. May we never forget that our salvation is dependent upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.